Good morning. The reading is on page 1153 of the Bibles, and it's starting at chapter 12, reading from 1 to 11. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
Wonderful. Well, morning, everyone. It's great to see you. Isn't it good to be church together on this sunny morning? Let's pray as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you that because we have your word to study this morning, we don't remain uninformed about spiritual things, but we know that your Spirit is sent to help your church. And so we pray that as we study these gifts, these wonderful gifts that are given this morning, we would understand who you are, the giver of those gifts, that your Spirit would be poured out into this church again this morning, just as indeed he already is moving amongst us. And we pray that Jesus might be glorified as we read your word together today. In his name we ask. Amen. Well, we're continuing this series that we're in between Easter and Pentecost, and we're looking at the person and work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Andy kicked us off 2 weeks ago, who reminded us that the Spirit's for everyone, in everything, from the day we're saved until we see the King. Is that right? I knew it rhymed. I think I got the rhyme in the right place. Helpful stuff, that we've got to have the widest view possible of who God's Spirit is and what he's doing amongst us. Then last week, again, Andy told us about the Spirit's work in the church today of convicting us of sin, that is to bring us to repentance, to guide the church in all goodness and to bring glory to Jesus. The Spirit's pointing to Jesus all the way through. And so today we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit. It's November 1996, and my parents are visiting Manchester from London, and this would be the last time I'd see my grandparents between November and December, because obviously it's a long way to go. We'd next be seeing them at New Year. So they had in mind, whilst they visited us, to buy a Christmas present for me and for my brother. And they saw my eyes gazing at the coolest gadget ever known to man. It was a watch, a bit like the Apple Watch, but without any of the features. It did, however, have a calculator on it. And that was when you're 12 years old, that was. And it also had one of those blue LED backlights when they were new and exciting. Did anyone have that particular watch? Prayer ministry will be available afterwards. I wanted it so badly. And my grandparents, because they are good, generous people, decided they would buy me this watch. And I wanted this watch so badly that although my grandparents were really organized and had bought wrapping paper and gift cards with them so they could leave these wrapped presents with my parents for Christmas Day, I knew the secret, which is parents always hide the presents in the bottom of the wardrobe. True? Well, that's where these presents were hidden anyway. So I would sneak in when no one else was around, and I would get the present out of the wardrobe. I would very carefully unwrap the sellotape at one end, slide the box out, put the watch on just for a moment, and then reverse the process, putting it back in, resealing it, putting it back in the wardrobe. By the time Christmas Day came, I felt sick with excitement because finally the day had come that I had my calculator watch. Now, you could read a lot into how geeky I was as a 12-year-old from that story, or you could read a lot into my grandparents. They were generous. They loved me. Still love me, I think. I'll check with them later. They're certainly still generous, but they delighted in my delight. They delighted in seeing me excited about something. These spiritual gifts, they tell us a bit about the church. They tell us what we need, but they more so tell us something about the nature and character of the giver, of God, who delights in us and wants to give us good things. Matthew 7:11 reminds us, if you, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And in Luke's gospel, the same verse says, how much more so will the Holy Spirit be given to you? You see, it's the Spirit who is the vehicle by which these good gifts are given. The Father has given the Son to save the world. The Son and the Father together have given the Spirit to give life to the church. And these spiritual gifts are given not to us just to make us feel good, certainly not that, but to empower the church, to build the church, to build the kingdom. And there'll be some of you in here today who will be super excited that we're looking at 1 Corinthians 12 today, because you are excited about the gifts of the Spirit being used in the life of the church. And you're going to leave disappointed today unless you see 15 healings, 8 prophetic words, and really exciting stuff going on. To you guys, I want to say, please can you continue to model to us as a church how these gifts are to be exercised biblically amongst us. But remember that this isn't the Holy Spirit Sunday. Every Sunday, in fact, every day is the Holy Spirit Day. There's some of you who will be in here really nervous to be thinking about spiritual things. Like, are these gifts just sort of a bit weird? Can't we just skip over this bit and just talk about Jesus some more? Do we really have to understand this stuff? And I guess to you guys, I would say, remember who the giver of these good gifts is. It's him. It's the Spirit. And on Christmas Day, when I opened that watch, it was something I wanted, that I was excited about. God doesn't give gifts that will worry people or concern them. He doesn't force himself on people. If you don't want a gift, he's not going to force something on you. So we don't need to be concerned. Instead, though, we need to have open hearts, open minds. Think, what might God give to us today? And some will have heard it said that these gifts are for a bygone era, that these gifts were for the early church and not really for today at all. Well, to those I would say, have an open heart as we study God's word today. I think it's certainly the case that if you have your hands tied behind your back because of something someone once said, it's impossible to have your hands out in front of you to say, perhaps, maybe, just maybe, God might want to give you one of these gifts today. So what are these spiritual gifts? I remember when on the first day at Bible college, I went to the worship evening on the first evening there and listened to what I thought was the most incredible piano playing I had ever heard. It was a guy called John was on the piano and he played it beautifully. I'd never heard anything like it. It was just stunning. And I don't mean to embarrass Sam Holbert, but Sam, his playing reminds me of your playing. Just absolute, just beautiful. Karen, your playing's also wonderful as well. Just realised the hole that I fell into there momentarily. I think I've rescued that all right, haven't I? Anyway, moving on very swiftly. I said to John after the service, as someone who knew no one, and therefore had no idea of, I'm trying to make friends here, so a bit of small talk. I said, hi there, I'm Ben, nice to meet you. I said, how long have you been playing the piano to play like that? Just incredible. Do you know what he said to me? Deadpan, straight face. I've never played the piano before in my life. I woke up this morning and God gave me this gift. He had a wicked sense of humor. He had a really wicked sense of humor, and I fell for it for a moment, and then realized that the truth was that John had a natural gifting for piano playing that he married with years and years of practice to get him to the standard that he was. That, friends, is a creation gift, isn't it? God has created us as gifted people. She is good at football. He's good at accounting. She is good at DIY. He's good at public speaking. I don't know what it is for you, but you will have some natural gifts. These are creation gifts, gifts that are given to us in creation. That's not what we're talking about as a spiritual gift. If John the pianist had been telling the truth, that would have been a spiritual gift. These are supernatural abilities, things that are given to us that we ordinarily would not be able to do, but that are given to us to function in a way outside of the norm for us. I've got 3 points for you today, and they're all negative, so sorry about that. They're don'ts. Don't be ignorant, don't be indulgent, and don't be indifferent. Don't be ignorant, indulgent, or indifferent. Don't be ignorant. Don't be uninformed about these things. Paul in verse 1 says, now about these spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want to tell you about them so that you're not ignorant about these things. As a church, we need great understanding, so that we can know what these gifts are, know how they can be used, and know what they look like in the life of the church. And if you want to be informed about these spiritual gifts, you wouldn't do too badly from starting by reading 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, because Paul goes to great lengths to talk about the use and the misuse and the function of some of these spiritual gifts. He tells us there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, God is at work. That shows us there's a variety of gifts here, and incredibly, God can give two people the exact same gift, but they can use them in totally different ways, and that's okay. So when you find out that someone has the same gift to you, but their ministry looks very different from you, then we should rejoice, because what we're seeing there is the gifts being used in different ways. And the way they impact others will be different. The same gifts, the same different workings, but the way they impact others, the workings, as Paul says, can be different. There are 9 gifts that are mentioned in this list. I don't think it's an exhaustive list. I think you need to read it with Ephesians 4 and Romans 12 and other places as well to build up probably over 20 spiritual gifts that Paul mentions in his letters, and no doubt others besides. I don't think he was being exhaustive. But let me just quickly run through these ones, just so that we're clear what he's talking about here. Wisdom. This isn't the creation gift of wisdom that often comes with a long beard and life experience and sometimes a good education. That's natural wisdom, but this is supernatural wisdom. Wisdom for either a particular thing or a particular period of time where you have God's wisdom outside of human wisdom and you can contribute it for a particular task. Knowledge, a miraculous word of knowledge that you otherwise wouldn't know. I remember once when I was a youth minister, one of my key young people wanted to come round and talk to me because he said, Ben, I'm losing my faith. I'm really struggling with my faith. Can we talk about it? So I said, yes, of course we can. And as he came round, there was a knock on my door. I was expecting him. As he came round, I just felt the Holy Spirit whisper to me the word Darren Brown. I thought, what does this mean? So anyway, we got talking. I said, just as you came in before, I just felt the Lord whisper Darren Brown. Does that mean anything? And he corrected me. He said, you mean Darren Brown? I said, well, who's Darren Brown? I didn't know at the time. He's an illusionist and magician, you might say. And this young person had been watching a lot of Darren Brown on television, who was doing the miracles, you know, redoing the miracles to show how an illusionist would do them. And that had really shattered this young boy's faith. But by saying to him, what about that? God has said these words to me. Suddenly, our conversation could move into rebuilding his faith again. A word of knowledge. A gift of faith. This isn't the sort of faith that we all have. I mean, all of us are here today because we have in some way received that gift of faith, or at least you're exploring what that gift of faith might mean to you. But this is extraordinary faith. This is the sort of faith where you just know that God is going to do something miraculous. And I think this faith gift often goes with other gifts as well, gifts of healing and prophecy, where you just know that God is going to do something. And then there's the gift of healing. Again, this isn't the creative gift of healing, which is that our bodies are pretty good at mending themselves most of the time, nor is this the gift of healing through wonderful medicine that helps us get better naturally. This is a supernatural gift of healing where God intervenes and makes people better. And that doesn't always look like what we might expect it to. I remember being in meetings where people have experienced something of the healing power of Jesus, and we expect it to be a case of getting someone to stand up and people laying hands on them, perhaps anointing them with oil and praying, and God heals them. I once preached a sermon in a youth gathering that was to do with Jonah chapter 1, which, if you remember Jonah chapter 1 well, has nothing to do with healing. And afterwards, a young girl came up to me, she's about 15, said, "I can speak." And all of her friends were really excited. I said, "I can hear that you can speak because you're speaking to me." "So what?" And she said, "I haven't been able to speak for 4 months. But in your sermon, you said that God's able to do anything he wants." And so very quietly, I just said, "God, if you're able to restore my speech, will you please?" And she was healed. Nothing to do with me, nothing to do with some big moment, just God quietly working. She never even complimented my outstanding sermon of Jonah chapter 1. Miracles. These are miracles that are presumably not healing miracles, but other miracles. I guess the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 would come into that. In fact, when Janet and Howard Jones were sharing something of their testimony a few weeks ago, they told their own story of the feeding of the 5,000 when they were at the border, accepting lots of refugees in. They had one pot of food, and the queue got longer and longer and longer, and the food never ran out. Miracle, incredible miracle of provision. We don't know how God does this stuff, but he does. Prophecy, this is speaking something of what God wants to say to his people prophetically. We're told in 1 Corinthians 14 that one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening and encouraging and comfort. We could bear that in mind as we share prophetic words. What a wonderful gift to bring someone else. Strengthening, encouraging words, comforting words. And just a note on prophecy, I think we've fallen into the pattern sometimes that prophetic words need to be given the second that God gives them to us. So let's stop the meeting because God needs to say something right now. And that may well be true. But it's also the case, I think, that sometimes God puts things on our heart on a Monday. And we pray about them on Tuesday. And we take them to our small group on Wednesday. And then we email Martin or I and say, "Look, I think God might be saying this to the church." And then Martin and I can pray about it and then stand up on Sunday. So if God's putting something on your heart to say, it doesn't have to just be right now that he does that, although it might be. It could be any point in the week. Because remember, this isn't Holy Spirit Sunday. Every day is a Holy Spirit day. Discernment, the discerning between different spirits. This is needed because sometimes the devil can masquerade as God. And so someone needs to discern what is of God, to have our discerning radar up. The gift of tongues. Well, the Corinthians had got themselves into a particular pickle with this, which is why Paul spends so long in these chapters talking about the gift of tongues. This is a miraculous language that is given. I think actually I've seen the gift of tongues experienced in 4 different ways. And perhaps some of you will be able to come to me afterwards and help me in my understanding of this. But there seems to be a private language of prayer between us and God when our English, or whatever language you speak in prayer, has come to a natural end, and we need some more words, that God sort of gives us the words. There is the gift of tongues of, I've seen churches singing together, not knowing what the tune was or what the words were, yet sung in harmony, wonderfully together, some sort of worship that just bubbles up. I've heard about the miraculous gift of languages. So when someone is speaking words to them that they have no idea what they are, but then someone else hears them and says, oh, that's from my particular native tongue. So it might be me, I don't speak French. It might be me speaking some words, I have no idea what they're doing. And a French person say, oh, you're speaking my language. I can hear what you're saying. And then yet still, and I think this is specifically what Paul is talking about here, when one person speaks a spiritual language and another person brings an interpretation of that language, that the whole church is built up and edified. Either way, what's going on here, I think, is a reversal of the Tower of Babel. When the languages were confused and no one could understand anything anymore, yet here in God, all are one. Good gifts. We could do a whole sermon on each one of those, couldn't we? Perhaps we will one day. Don't be ignorant. Understand them. Read more about them, particularly if you think God might be giving you one of these gifts. Secondly, don't be indulgent. We are to exercise these gifts, not for ourselves, but for the sake of the whole church. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 7, the common good. All these gifts mentioned in the Bible are for the common good. They're not for us. They're not for our own sake. They're for everyone's sake. Not for me, but for all of us, to build one another up. Such is the way that God works. This is a giving God. God gives his Son to redeem the world. The Father and the Son give the Spirit. The Spirit gives a particular gift to you, and you're given that gift that you might bless someone else. And then the church is built up, and Jesus is glorified. That's the purpose of these gifts, not self-indulgent. It's about giving glory to God by blessing the church, blessing other people for the common good. And whilst these gifts might all sound totally different, there's huge areas of similarity, aren't there, between them? They seem to split into two groups: miracles of demonstration and miracles of revelation. So the miracles of demonstration are to demonstrate God's power and God's kingdom coming. They're faith and healing and discerning between spirits and miracles. But those of revelation are to do with God speaking to his church today. Of course, the main way that God speaks to his church is through the Bible. That's always been the case. But in the Bible, God also shows other ways that he will speak to his church. Because, of course, the same Spirit that authored the Bible is the same Spirit who's at work in the church today. And therefore, whenever we hear prophetic words or tongues being interpreted or words of wisdom, they will never contradict what's written in God's word. And in fact, it's been my experience that most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time a prophetic word is given, it's either based upon or built upon a passage of the scriptures. Well, we're not surprised by that, are we? Sometimes God gives pictures and visions and dreams and nudges and audible words and just general senses and things that we just know in our hearts. It's God who speaks, but it's the church who benefits. But it's not about making us great or making us look like we're super spiritual Christians. It's about making Jesus great through making his church strengthened and edified and comforted. Don't be ignorant. Don't be indulgent. Lastly, don't be indifferent. We are commanded in Scripture to want and desire these gifts. Particularly, Paul says, the gift of prophecy. And I think that's particularly the gift of prophecy because it can be so powerful in speaking into people's lives. We're to eagerly desire these gifts. And in a moment, I will invite you to stand and hopefully put our hands out, if we feel comfortable doing that, to say, God, might you want to give a gift to me today? But don't be indifferent about this. Be like that 12-year-old me in 1996, eagerly desiring, wanting more than anything. When I was at Ridley Hall training to be a vicar, we were encouraged to join a group every now and again who would pray for words of knowledge and pictures and words of prophecy, and then use those evangelistically in the town of Cambridge. So we would pray together, receive words and pictures, and then go out into Cambridge and chat to people and see whether any of them sort of hit home, if you like. I was quite inexperienced in these things, so I thought it'd be really good for me as a future church leader to get sort of brush up on this. So I went along and I wrote down each of the pictures and gifts that other people had. I didn't have any gifts or pictures given to me, but other people did. So I wrote them down. And one of them was a picture of someone's bank card. I remember that when I wrote it down. As we went out into Cambridge between lectures that day, I came across two women who were looking frantic and searching through. And I went up and said, "Is everything okay?" And they said, "Yeah, we're American tourists and we've lost our bank card." And so I got out my piece of paper from my pocket and said, "Oh, that's interesting. This morning we were praying and said bank card and just wonder where that's." And said, "We're Christians. Could you pray for us?" I said, "Why don't we just pray now?" So we stood in the street just outside King's Prayer and we prayed that this bank card would turn up. And as we were praying, one of their phones rang. It was a shop who'd found the bank card. I mean, just incredible miracle. Just God's kindness shown in that way. Steve was unhappy that day. Steve had had picture after picture after picture as we prayed together, and he'd written them all down on his list. And by the end of the day, none of them had come true, even though some of them were pretty generic. One of them was a flat tire on a bicycle. I mean, in Cambridge, you can't help but see a flat tire on a bicycle. Some of the other things he wrote down was a woman with grey hair crying, a woman with a yellow overcoat on, a person with loads of plastic bags, someone who'd lost the will to live. And yet through the day, not a single one of these things had come up. And Steve was quite disgruntled that these so-called prophetic pictures had come to naught. So he cycled home that evening. And as he cycled home, he saw in the distance someone wearing a bright yellow coat. It caught his attention. So he went out of his way and cycled over to see this woman with grey hair crying as she pushed her bike with a flat tire, totally laden with plastic bags. And she was making her final journey, having decided to give up on life. And he came alongside her, and they prayed. And her life was saved twice. Once because she decided to get the help that she needed, but once because she gave her life to Christ that day. I mean, just incredible. You couldn't make this stuff up, could you? Friends, the Holy Spirit wants to give good gifts to his people, to edify them, to bring them close, to strengthen them, to comfort them. And I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. I don't want you to be indulgent with these things, building yourself up rather than the church. I don't want you to be indifferent about these things. I wonder if you're willing and able, would you stand with me? Why don't you, if you're comfortable doing this, why don't you just put your hand out? I think even men are able to do this. I know it's difficult, blokes, but I think even men are able to do this. Just put our hands out in front of us, because that's the posture, isn't it, of, here, I've got something to give you. I've got a gift to give you. And sometimes just putting our hand out is just a symbol to God saying, actually, I want to receive something from you today. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. We don't just want head knowledge either. We want to experience your spiritual gifts that are given so graciously and lovingly to your church. And Lord, we need those not to build ourselves up, but to build this church up that Jesus might be glorified in this place. And Lord, we don't want to be indifferent. Give us that deep desire for these gifts. And thank you that you don't give gifts that we don't want. You know us well enough to give us gifts that we do want. So with hands open and hearts open, come Holy Spirit, we pray. Come Holy Spirit and minister to us and give us those gifts that we desire. I don't know if anyone's got a word to encourage us that perhaps they feel the Spirit might have just put in their heart now. Then do please speak it out either where you are or come to the front if you wish. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if there's anyone who today is particularly coming with need, just wanting to see something of God's healing, either in their life or a life of someone that you're particularly close to today. Maybe you could just indicate that by just popping a hand in the air if you're brave enough to do that. And just have a look around you now, everyone. And if there's someone with a hand in the air next to you, why not just quietly pray for them? If it's appropriate, put your hand on their shoulder. And just say, yeah, I'll pray for that person. If there's someone around you, just be praying for those people. Lord Jesus, thank you that by your Spirit you... Thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit you can bring miraculous healing in the lives of those in this room and in the lives of those represented outside of this room. Come by your Spirit, we pray, and give your healing. Amen. Well, we've got plenty of opportunities to